Pakistani origin Canadian businessman Tahawur Rana wanted in India for his role in the 2008 Mumbai terror attacks that killed over 160 can be sent to India under the Indo-US extradition treaty. That is what a California court has said. Rana is presently lodged in a Los Angeles jail over charges linked to 2611 Mumbai terror attacks, and he is known as a close associate of Pakistani-American Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorist David Coleman Headley, who is one of the main conspirators of the attack. He is also accused of having links with Pakistan's inter-services intelligence. Radhika Ramaswamy is joining me on the phone line. Radhika, you know, India has much reasons to feel, you know, see this as a shot in the arm for all the legal case that has been built under against the Tahawur Rana. But overall, what are you picking up from the survivors of 2611?
Certainly, this is a big victory for India in the 2611 probe. Tahawur Rana on the brink of extradition. U.S. court saying India has provided sufficient evidence to establish his role in the 2611 attack. Of course, he might file an appeal, and now that the ruling is out, of course, he had filed a habeas corpus petition, which was earlier rejected. Now, once again, a setback for Tahawur Rana and a big win for Indian agencies. They've been trying to get him extradited from the U.S. To try him in this case. David Headley, who was instrumental in conspiring the attacks, convicted in the case, had taken his name during cross-examination. Headley and Rana were friends. In fact, Rana moved to Canada where he set up immigration services, which had a branch in Mumbai as well. And therefore, he provided logistical support to David Headley by giving him cover to identify targets. He gave multiple entry business visa also to David Headley. And of course, a supplemental charge sheet was also filed last year by Mumbai Crime Branch, which once again emphasized Rana's role, the fact that he stayed in a hotel in Mumbai just ahead of 2611. And Mumbai police, of course, time and again saying that they have multiple documents, communication, evidence and records to show that he was also part of conspiracy and he was instrumental in guiding David Headley as far as the recce and the conspiracy in itself is concerned. His extradition, of course, will help India unearth the conspiracy, understand the logistical and financial support he may have provided. And as far as survivors are concerned, of course, this has been a wait for so many years. More than 160 people have died. Several still, not healed from the wounds of 2611. They feel that this extradition has taken a long time. We know for a fact that Abu Jindal is being tried, but his trial has been put on hold. So perhaps Tahawur Rana's extradition may help understand the role of Abu Jindal more, role of Pakistan also more, and other conspirators also perhaps who were instrumental in carrying out the bloody attacks of 2611. So yes, certainly a big victory for India and some sort of hope for justice as far as victims of 2611 are concerned.
Right, Radhika, thank you so much for joining us. We have Kapil Sankla, lawyer of the Supreme Court, joining us. We also have Surendra Kanojia, who's a 2611 survivor, and Amrita Raichan. Kapil Sankla, you know, looking at what has been seen as a long legal battle for India, you know, to ensure that all those who have conspired against India in 2611 actually, you know, face the law. Do you think this is the step in the right direction, and how soon will this extradition be through, come through?
Maria, it makes me very proud. In 25 years as a lawyer on the defense side, you know, when I see how relevant India is becoming in the international scenario, it makes me extremely proud. This extradition wasn't easy, considering the fact that this fellow had been acquitted by the American courts. And after that, we sought extradition. We brought in fresh documents, fresh material. So there was a huge roadblock as far as this extradition was considered under law, which was one, that the offense is such that he would be given death penalty. There was politics involved. And the third, most importantly, is the law of double jeopardy, where once he was acquitted and a co-accused was also given protection by the American court, we still managed to bring in relevant documents before the concerned court in America. We brought in facts that the offense has to be seen in the light of Indian laws, and the documents and the evidences that were brought before have to be seen under the AGs of the offences committed here, and therefore we could convince the first court and the second court, and as far as the habeas corpus is concerned. So I think it's a huge step in the right direction, and it also shows how relevant India is becoming in the international scenario. This is one of those cases where the extradition laws have been fought when there were huge liabilities, huge genuine arguments that could have been brought and were brought by the legal team of this fellow. And we still managed to convince the courts and multiple forums.
Yes.
And
but Kapil, you know, Tahawur Rana has served 7 years in jail. But again, India had gone ahead and put in this request because India wants him to be tried here in India. You know, and because of his links with the Mumbai attacks, his, of course, argument was that he has served the jail term. But he is someone who provided that material which was used for the terror attack. And the jury has convicted him of giving that material support to a terrorist organization, which is Lashkar-e-Taiba, and for conspiring to provide that material support to really carry out that terrorist attack.
You're right. But he was subsequently acquitted of charges directly relating to the Mumbai attacks. He was found guilty for another offense as well, which was supporting the plot to attack a Danish newspaper. So there were three things that happened. He was acquitted of first charge, not on the second charge, but found guilty of another offense as well. So the extradition, as far as our arguments were concerned, is that you have to look at the offense so committed in India and in the light of Indian laws. And this was taken into consideration by the Superior Court, who did hold two important facets. One, that the offenses in India are different from the acquittal made in America. That is one. And he cannot draw benefit of the co-accused, which is Hadley's case. So these two were, as I said, huge roadblocks as far as his extradition were concerned. And these were successfully fought on by the Indian government. And therefore, we do see that though he still has some rights of going to the Superior Court and also lobbying, which is also permitted in America. But I do see that, you know, considering these two very important facets, I think it's a huge push in the right direction.
Also being joined by Amrita Raichand now. Remember, she was at the Taj Hotel during the 26/11 attacks in 2008. And she was among those guests who were trapped in that hotel for hours. Amrita Raichand, thank you so much for speaking to NDTV. A step in the right direction, certainly. It also shows that the government of India has been relentlessly pursuing the case.
Yes, indeed. And I'm always, the patriotic chef, always rooting for my country and always celebrating the small successes. It's taken too long, 16 years, a bit too long, but like I said, it's in the right direction and one always appreciates the small victories.
Yes, and Amrita, you know, every time you hear about a development in the case, in this particular case, that he can be extradited, of course, there are appeals at his disposal, so he will be going in for appeals. Are you hopeful that all those who conspire and the manner in which this conspiracy was hatched on the foreign soil and implemented in India, in Mumbai, will be finally punished for what they did?
You know, that's the hope. That's really the hope. And rest, what we can do is just, wait and pray. And, you know, I hope that the solution to this happens sooner rather than later. At least the direction is, we are moving in the right direction. But I hope this doesn't take too long.
And all your, I'm sure all the survivors, how often do you all meet? And is there some get together or meetings to discuss how the case has been progressing or overall about the well-beings?
You know, I have many survivors in my own family. We were four of us that were stuck together. My son was 1 year old, who's 16 years old right now. We're actually in the car, and this all happened so suddenly. So I'm sorry if you can see the hazy me and you can't hear me properly. And I'm trying to just hold this phone in the right way. And then there was a family friend of ours who lives in Delhi. So whenever we meet, we always speak. Unfortunately, a couple of other very, very dear friends of mine who lost, one of my friends lost her father, this other friend of mine lost his sister. So somehow I never really talk about these things to them because they did not survive, you know. But yes, amongst us, we speak a lot. My son, like I mentioned earlier also when we were speaking at five, he still gets very jittery when we have this conversation and he says, you know, Mom, I don't want to talk about it. But we do appreciate the fact things have been slow, but at least, you know, they have moved in the right direction. And we appreciate whatever is happening.
Well, talking about the overall investigation and the charges which have been framed, how do you think this Tahavvur Rana case has panned out so far, Kapil?
You see, to give you a short answer, let us see what has happened in USA, because that is the evidence and those are the offenses that were brought before the US court. So the first, as far as my understanding from what I read in the media, is this, that at the first instance, the extradition was permitted by the US District Court. I'm informed that that was subsequently challenged. And the challenge is very difficult. It is not like India that anybody can go to a higher court and challenge anything, because the ambit actually narrows down quite a bit. From the district court, I've been told that the appeal was filed to the US Court of Appeals, which is on very narrow framework. And the law is looked into it. The facts are brought in the four corners of legality. And as far as the extradition laws are concerned, it is actually seen very, very minutely. And the three judges in the US Court of Appeal has upheld the extradition in favor of the Indian government. I've also been informed that a writ was also subsequently filed, which was after the district court's ruling. But I'm not too sure about what happened. But what is now available to him, as far as my understanding goes, is an appeal to the US Supreme Court. As far as the appeal to the US Supreme Court is concerned, only the issue of law is seen in the Honorable Supreme Court in the US. So as far as the law is concerned, what would be seen is the bilateral treaty, the Indian Extradition Act, the bilateral treaty that we have with the American government. Under what exception does this fall? So basically, his case falls under an exception where, though he has been acquitted in the trial court of US, however, still under the exceptions as in the bilateral treaty, in the extradition treaty, he can still be extradited. And that is what I was trying to tell you, is as far as the evidence that has been brought by the Indian government there is on the issue of the offense committed and not the act committed. So the offense would be understanding the legalities of Indian law. How would they be read as the duality of offense? How would they be read as far as the American laws are concerned? Can we draw a parallel? And if we are drawing a parallel and we see that the punishment is the same, then he definitely will be extradited.
Okay, how soon will that happen then?
That is a question.
Because he has, he can go in for appeals.
Well, of course, not only he can go for appeal, as I said, see, the unique thing about the American system is they also have a concept called lobby. So not only can he file an appeal, but there is an intervention by the US Department of State, which is what was there as far as the Hadley's case was concerned. Hmm. So, you know, you have that as well, which is very, very separate from the legality of the entire issue. And then there are diplomatic negotiations, which is, which is also called lobby, but which is not permitted in India. That is a totally separate thing. So I don't see it happening immediately, but we should not lose the fact that a huge order of extradition has been received by the Indian government, despite there being very strong legal arguments by the legal team of the terrorists.
Okay, I have just enough time for Ms. Raichand. Please go ahead and share your thoughts. It's a family of survivors. You have survived a terror attack and one terrorist attack, which has actually shaken the conscience of this entire nation because it played out on live television. I mean, 90 hours or so of hostage crisis.
Yeah, and we were there. It's tough throughout. It happens to be my birthday on 26/11. And we reached the hotel, the Taj, at 9:30. And we were booked for dinner there. And fortunately, our table got delayed. And we ended up going to our family friend's suite, which was just above the Wasabi. And then once all the so-called fireworks started, it never ended. And we came out, I remember, at 7:30 the next morning through the, you know, with the help of a ladder, which these very, very brave and very amazing, you know, the fire extinguishers, they were there. And there was a lot of police, there were a lot of people, but they actually climbed up, broke our windows because we were not able to come out. And they literally held each one of us and brought us down. We sat in an ambulance and I came home to my one-year-old baby. I really never thought I'd be able to see again. And like I was mentioning earlier, you know, every year, the whole memory comes right back. And every time there's a little bit of victory in the right direction, one feels very, you know, it is very heartwarming and it is very hopeful. Because at the end of the day, the final goal and the final motive of our country should be that no terrorist should ever be able to attack us again. And which is why all these little victories are very important and we must celebrate and we must hope that they really see the light of day.